The first thing that I suggest to anyone who wants to make the change, they want to break a shopping habit and focus on other things that really fill them up, is to decide. A lot of the time you hear, what's your why? And I would actually ask, what's your who? So who is it that you want to be? And how does shopping fit into that?
Hello and welcome to the Minimalist Moms Podcast. Joining me today is friend of the podcast, Mary Simpson. She's here to discuss the turning point in her life that led her to reevaluate her shopping habits. One of the biggest things you can do to stop clutter in your home is to actually assess what you're bringing in, what that acquisition cycle looks like for you. Would you say that a shopping habit contributes to that? There are so many reasons that it can be difficult to stop shopping. But we are here today to tell you what you can do about it, and I can't wait to dive in. But before we get there, I quickly want to share a resource with you. I want to share a charming YouTube page called Auntie Kara's Corner. I actually just recently stumbled upon this YouTube page. But to summarize, it's a woman named Kara who loves to read classic literature out loud for children. As of right now, she has Dr. Dolittle, The Boxcar Children, and Anna Green Gables up on her account, but I think she does have plans to add more. I just think this is a sweet account, and you know I love to spotlight women in their creative projects. And fun fact, this is something really cool about the channel. Kara's 13-year-old daughter, Lila, plays the violin for the intro and conclusion. So again, just a charming YouTube channel, Auntie Kara's Corner. I'll be sure to include it in the show notes. And I'm not sure if you know this, but I'm always looking for minimalist resources to share here on the show. So if you have something worthwhile, feel free to shoot it my way so I can take a look. And lastly, if you've been enjoying the Minimalist Moms podcast, please take a minute to pause the episode, rate and review the show. I cannot stress enough how important it is for the show to accumulate rating and reviews. This is just the best way for others to find it. And in turn, it helps me to continue to bring you the awesome guests that I have on the show. So please, if you have not done so yet, it is super helpful. It takes 30 seconds or less, and even a few words go a long way. And with that, let's get to this episode with my friend, Mary Smith. Well, Mary, thanks so much for joining me today on the Minimalist Moms podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane. I've been a longtime listener, and so I'm really honored to get to be here as a guest.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. You and I have tried to connect, and I'm so glad that we're finally able to make it happen, because today we're going to be talking about struggling with shopping. If we find that we're in bad habits with shopping too much, you are here to give us the solutions for some of these troubles we're finding ourselves in. But before we get there, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll get started.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Mary Simpson. I am what I would call a recovering workaholic and shopaholic. So back in 2020, I was working still usually 50 to 70 hour week. And that was directly supporting my shopping habit. I had a lot of lifestyle creep, where the more I made, the bigger my lifestyle became. My kids at this time were 2 and 5. And I ended up that year having a health scare where my doctor said, we've done some testing on the clump that we found in your throat, and we think that you have cancer. There's a 90% chance of it. And I think for anybody who's ever gotten any type of news like that, it really causes you to reevaluate everything in your life. So I went, not crazy, but basically it was like, Sean, my husband, you know, we've talked about having a lifestyle change before. I really think that this is the time. And what we ended up doing over the next few months was finding a place in Southwest Florida, which we lived in the DC area at the time. So it was 1,000 miles away. We ended up flying down and finding a place to live. And the new house was literally going to be 25% of the size of the old house. Okay. And so it brought about this, like, you've got to get rid of a lot of stuff because it physically is not going to fit in the new house. And so I spent about 4 months every time I had a little bit of an opportunity to declutter. That's what I was doing. I was selling stuff on Facebook Marketplace. I was consigning stuff, so many donations, and got rid of ultimately about 3/4 of our stuff.
Wow.
So I didn't actually mean to become a minimalist at that point in time, but what I found was that it was so freeing to have less stuff to take care of. And I was also, because we downsized our lifestyle and we had a smaller house and a smaller mortgage and just everything was less expensive, I was able to work a lot less and really free up a lot of my time. And it just got me thinking, what if I minimalized more? And so I ended up doing that, certainly put my shopping habit in check through this process. No more late night online shopping like I used to do and skipping over the stuff in social media as I'm scrolling. So at this point, how long has it been? I guess it's been a few years now that I've really been on this journey, but the last couple of years, it's been a very conscious effort to live more minimally.
So with the diagnosis or with the scare, that was obviously the pivotal turning point for you to make these changes. And we're obviously going to get to the mindset change that you ended up having. Do you think without that scare that you would have ever found this path? Or do you think that was really something that changed your life?
That is such a good question. I feel like at some point I probably would have come around to making the change, because I was feeling very burnt out with working so much. And at one point so the house that we moved from was actually my dream house. We had actually built it. It was this custom home. And then we got in there. And of course, the health scare happened with propelling everything. And by the way, it was not cancer. I should say that it was really, truly just a scare, but it scared me straight. So I do think that eventually I probably would have found this path and decided that I didn't want to focus all of my time and attention on working so hard to be able to afford our lifestyle and to afford all the stuff. But mm-hmm. Who knows when that would have happened. So I'm actually very grateful for the health scare and for the fact that I had surgery and I've got a little bit of a scar here on my neck. I don't know if you can still see it, but depends on the lighting. It's there.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for that scar.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a problem for so many of us. I find myself, if I'm stressed out, it is a tendency of mine that I will fall back into, just because I've always loved clothes since I was little. I have ways now that I'm able to continually update my wardrobe without spending money or like bringing stuff in. I love to sell and resell. There are many ways that I can do that. Mm-hmm. But I find myself in that like wanting habit when I'm trying to fill the void of something that I'm not getting in my life, whether that's sleep or emotional connection, whatever it is. But today you are going to share some of the ways that you've been able to combat some of these habits where you can't stop shopping. So you have five. Why don't we get right into the first one? What has been one of the first ways that you were able to kind of nip this habit?
Yeah. So I'm going to start with the first thing that I think people should do if they want to nip the habit. However, I skipped this step initially because I wasn't intentionally trying to break the habit. So the first thing that I suggest to anyone who wants to make the change, they want to break the shopping habit and focus on other things that really fill them up, is to decide, you know, a lot of the time you hear, what's your why? And I would actually ask, what's your who? So who is it that you want to be? And how does shopping fit into that? So again, I didn't start with this step, but that ended up being something that I came back to. And I really said, you know what? I used to identify myself as a shopper, and that's just not who I personally want to be. There are other things that, you know, when I look back at my own life and when other people think of me, I don't want them to think of me as that girl who's always shopping and who's a fashionista. Not that I ever was that. So decide on your who.
I think it's hard because you have to remember that you can't take it with you when you die. Mm-hmm. And I know people don't like to talk about that. People don't like to talk about their mortality. But we were just talking about it at family dinner last night. Just my husband's with talking to his grandpa. He's like, I don't even know your grandpa's name or your great grandpa's name. Some people are really good at documenting that and knowing that ancestry. But for the most part, we know names from a couple of generations, but you're definitely not thinking about the things that they owned and how stylish they were. That isn't the legacy that we leave behind. So I think even rationalizing that part of ourselves and our identity can be really helpful. It's hard, but it can be a huge motivating factor.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that was an interesting conversation to have, but you're so right. You know, we don't always think about what people are wearing or necessarily even remember what they were wearing.
Yeah. And I don't want to discredit, because again, I do love clothes. I'm wearing a thrifted vintage wool sweater, and I was able to Poshmark it for $20.
Oh,
and
great.
I had already sold stuff on Poshmark. So I'm constantly just kind of using the same funds. If I like something new, I'll sell something else, wait till I have the money, and then I'll get it.
That's a smart way to do it.
There's ways to do it. So I'm not going to talk anymore. What's your second way that you were able to do this?
Yeah. So the second one is where I started, and that was with decluttering. And to me, that is such an essential step because that's what allows you to really take stock of what it is that you already have and focus then on actually wearing and enjoying what you already have. And I think a lot of the time, the more you get rid of, the more you realize you don't need so much, and it can actually allow you to get rid of even more. So step number two is just declutter.
Absolutely. Was your husband, did he find himself in any of these habits, or was this strictly you?
So my husband, fortunately, is more of an outdoorsman, meaning that his clutter is out in our garage typically. So he did have to get rid of some stuff. He certainly did join me as far as going through all of his clothes and that kind of thing. But I'm the sentimental one. So I am the one who saved every single movie ticket or pamphlet from a show that I went to as a kid all the way up to the time that I started decluttering. He has fortunately taken on some of my habits so that in our smaller garage, it's not too cluttered. But if you ever see on social media where I share my garage, you're like, oh my God, they look like hoarders. Well, that's his stuff because it has to be contained somewhere.
That makes sense. All right. Well, what's your third tip you have for us?
So my third tip is to push the pause button. So what I mean by this is that if you are online shopping or you're out doing in-person shopping, don't just immediately on impulse buy something that you weren't already planning to buy. That way your brain can actually catch up with the rest of you. Because there is this time gap between you making this impulse decision and your brain actually processing and thinking it through. So I do also, with doing this pause button, ask a lot of questions. So some examples, and I've got, I think, six of them here, is first, do you really need it or do you really want it? Or a combination of the two. Second is, where will you keep it? So do you already have a place? Because if you don't have a place where you can keep the item, it's probably just going to be cluttering up a corner or a surface somewhere. The third question that I ask is, can I use it immediately? Because I think sometimes we have this grand vision of, oh, you know, I'm going to buy this extra dress because it's so pretty and it would be perfect for a vacation, but you don't actually have the vacation planned and know that it's going to happen for sure. So make sure you can use the item immediately. Fourth is, can I borrow the item or use something else instead? So sometimes you can use something that's not necessarily intended for a purpose for that purpose, meaning that you have one less thing that you're having to bring into your home and then subsequently store. The fifth question that I like to ask is, will it take any extra upkeep? So for example, if you're buying a piece of clothing, is it something that has to be dry cleaned? Is it something that you have to iron? Is it something that's going to cause you to have to do more work just because of the fact that you own it and you're going to use it? And then the sixth and final question that I'll share with you right here, and there's certainly others, is if you're looking at an item that is on sale, ask yourself if you would actually buy it if you were to have to pay full price. Because if you wouldn't, then that's a sign that you're really just buying it because of the fact that you feel like it's a good deal. And that in and of itself is a dopamine hit.
Absolutely. I've definitely talked about the questions that I've asked myself when I initially started stepping away from the mall or from the stores. And I think some people perceived me as overthinking, or you have to think too much, or that's too much to ask yourself. But at some point, it switched from having to be incredibly intentional with, this is just my habit. I'm just in this habit. I don't have to fully go through all these questions. It's just the way that I'm living now. Have you found that in your own life?
Yeah, for sure. And actually, yesterday, I shared something on social media because this is important, actually, to our conversation. I have gone for 16 months now without buying any clothes, any shoes other than walking shoes that I have to replace, any accessories or any handbags. And all of those were I mean, I couldn't say no before. Every single day, just about, it seemed like I was ordering something new within that category before I broke my habit. And I actually went to TJ Maxx last week, and I had been thinking, you know, I live in Southwest Florida. It's warm here year round. I was thinking that I would like to have one more long, flowy, bright dress that I could incorporate. Is it something that I wear frequently? Like, even just at home, I'll throw one on in the evening to have dinner with my family in our own home. Like, it's fun, you know, sometimes to dress up. So I found one last week, and I am questioning it all over the place because I bought it, but I haven't taken the tags off yet because I want to make sure that this is truly the dress, one, that's going to end my 16-month no shopping streak. Two, that I really do see it fitting into my life the way that I anticipate it. You know, will I actually wear it and enjoy it enough to earn it? So the verdict is still out. I haven't made a decision, but I think it's important to ask these questions. You know, it's just part of being intentional and making sure that you're really only bringing things into your home that make sense for you.
Absolutely. And I think for me, I had a podcast long ago about when minimalism becomes debilitating, which I should honestly refresh. I should do a new fresh take on that. But for me, I felt like there was so much of my ego when I stepped away from buying things. So like if I was, I think I only like made it to 8 months of not having a purchase. But so much of my ego was like, if you make a purchase, then you're not this minimalist anymore. Are you broken it? And just my identity was starting to get wrapped up into that.
But yeah,
I had to like pause myself to say, like, don't allow this to debilitate you. This idea of minimalism or simplifying or living with less or being more intentional. This is a tool. This is a tool to help you to get better. We all know and can recognize, as a generalization, a lot of us know when we're overspending. Mm-hmm. And just use these suggestions, recommendations as tools to help you. Not to be this, I don't know. Again, I just feel like I was so driven by my ego and it was a haughtiness. Like, I'm not buying anything and look at me and look at what I can do. I don't know if I'm making any sense with what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, okay. Absolutely. Total sense. And I think when it all comes down to it, it's really just about doing what's right for you and being intentional. And
yeah.
I know that if I decide to keep this dress, it was absolutely intentional. It was not something that was just an impulse buy. I was very much looking. I mean, I went to the dress section of TJ Maxx. I was there looking for a dress, and I'd actually looked a couple previous times and just didn't see anything that was even worth trying on. So, you know, I think that there is a balance there that you need to find, and it's probably going to be a little different for everybody.
Yeah, this is what I think I actually was meaning to say as well. Is like, there's no competition. There's no one that we're trying to be better than in some of these rules that we set for ourselves. And also, I had to be honest with myself and not deny the fact that I do love clothes. I think for so long, when I first started pursuing minimalism, I was like, oh, well, I guess I just can't like clothes anymore. I guess I have to never buy them again because I'm in this role now with this platform, and or this is the role I have in my family. Even if I wasn't host of a podcast about minimalism.
Yeah.
It was this person in my family, and I didn't want to look like a hypocrite, but it's like, I can't deny this reality of something I really like. I'm just going to be a lot more intentional about, again, the acquisition process or like the accumulation, how many things I'm bringing in, with what money am I spending? Am I being intentional? And I think that probably looks like a lot less than culture. Like, it's still anti-culture. But yeah, I just wanted to clearly communicate that it's okay if you still like saying we're just really trying to help people that are finding it to be a big problem in their life.
Yep, absolutely. Completely agree.
Yeah. So are we on the fifth one or are we on four? I can't remember.
On the fourth. We're on four, and I shouldn't have used numbers. I should have used letters. But my fourth tip is to just simply avoid the temptation. So just like someone who is struggling with, let's say, an alcohol addiction, they're not going to wander into a bar and just sit there and say, all right, I'm going to sit here and be strong. They're going to stay away from the bar. So if you are really trying to stop a shopping habit, stay out of the stores. Of course, that can also, you know, in today's world, include online. So stay off of the websites. So a few things that I personally have done is I have unsubscribed from everything that I could possibly think of. So that includes catalogs as well as emails. For catalogs, I really recommend a website that's free to use. They accept donations, but it's called catalogchoice.org. And you can go there and do a search for the catalog you want to unsubscribe from, and they will take you off the list. You know, it might take a few weeks, 6 weeks or so, but they will unsubscribe you. For emails, I have also loved another resource called unroll.me. So UNROLL.me. And with that one, anything that is perceived as junk typically goes into this system. And you can then decide what you want to keep in your inbox, keep in the roll-up is what they call it, or unsubscribe from it altogether. So that way, if you want to view something, you can be very intentional about going in and looking at it. Other things that I have done, I have deleted my credit cards from any shopping account, because it's one more thing that you have to do is to go in and put your credit card information in if you're contemplating buying. Again, it's helping to push that pause button. I removed shopping apps from my phone. That way I don't get any of those notifications. If I'm on social media, I do my best just to scroll past the ad. You know, if I see, you, that's not from a friend of mine, that's another ad, which, I mean, there's so many of them. Just keep scrolling. And something that I have found helpful actually with social media is to the time that you're scrolling to actually put your phone into grayscale. I'm assuming most phones can do that. I have an iPhone, but if you put it into grayscale, it doesn't look nearly as exciting. So if you do happen to see an ad pop up, it's not going to catch your eye like one that was in color would. So with that, I don't know how to do it. Do a Google search and find out how to put your phone into grayscale. It's somewhere on there, but that has been very helpful for me. And then the last thing that I'll mention is, you know, if you go to, let's say, Target to do your grocery pickup or grocery shopping, do a pickup so that you're not having to actually go into the store. And that way, you know, you're only buying what you really need. So you're staying out of the store, but the others are staying off the website. Just avoid those temptations. Easier to avoid than to try to be strong.
Yes, absolutely. That was one of the number one things I had to do. It is like, I hate to compare it to an alcoholic to a bar. It felt like that for me. It felt like I am going to be so enticed in here and I feel like I have no control, because at that point, I was just spending all my credit. I was just wasting money. It felt like I had money to spend. So why would I not spend it? And again, if your brain processes are just going around in these loops and you're not stopping them, it's just so much easier to stay in the same consistent habits than to break it and to break it up and to have someone stop you. So because no one else was in control of me, I just truly had to stay away from the stores.
Yep. Same here. I'm now at the point where I can walk through, you know, the clothing section or whatever section, home decor at Target without getting too lured. And I'll still look and I'll admire, but I am now able to walk away without actually purchasing anything.
All right. What's your fifth and final tip you have for us?
So the fifth and final is to replace the activity. So instead of shopping, find a different activity that you enjoy. Like for me, online shopping used to be a big thing, especially in the evenings. Like again, I worked crazy hours, but you know, I would still spend a little bit of time scrolling social media. Next thing you know, I would be doing online shopping late at night in bed. I'm sure I'm not the only person who ever shopped it. And so instead, an activity that I might replace that with would be reading a book or listening to an audiobook or doing a gratitude journal. For those of us who do in-person shopping, replace it with another activity. Meet up with a friend for coffee or do some sort of fitness class. I'm a walker, so go for a walk, get outside in nature. You know, just anything that distracts you, but also that you really enjoy and will fulfill you in a different way from what shopping does for you.
Yeah, I know that this is a big struggle for people. One last tip that I have that's been helpful is when I see the price of something, taking the equivalent of how many hours I'd have to work for that. And is it worth my time spent working away from my family to purchase this item that's probably going to be not long lasting? So just kind of getting that perspective has been helpful to me as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And something that I would actually add to that, which is similar, but a little bit different, is to look at if you saved that money, how much it would be worth in the future. So I come from the financial planning type of industry. And so we used a lot of compounding calculators. So you know, if I invested this $100 instead of buying XYZ, how much would that $100 be by the time I'm looking to retire if I've got it invested earning 8% or what have you per year? And I think sometimes seeing how big that number is and thinking about how much of an impact that can really have on your life and giving you more time freedom, I think that can also be really helpful, reevaluating and maybe changing your mind on spending that money frivolously if it doesn't really make sense for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mary, is there any other word of encouragement you want to leave with listeners before we wrap things up?
Oh, so, you know, don't beat yourself up if you feel like you're shopping too much. Know that everybody has his or her own journey. And if you feel like shopping is something that you really want to make a conscious effort to slow down, figure out what you want your life to look like, who you want to be in your life, and then take some of these tips that we discussed today and really work to make those changes.
Absolutely. Well, where can listeners find you and connect and hear from you more online if they want to do so?
I am on Instagram as Minimalism with Mary.
Perfect. Well, as we wrap things up here, I'm going to ask you the two questions that I ask every guest. And the first one is, what has been a beneficial resource in your life that you want to share with the listeners?
So I was going to say the library. However, one of your not too long ago guests said the same thing. So I am going to instead share an app that I've found that has been really helpful. It is called the Habit Share app. So I have used this app personally for tracking a couple of different habits. My current are that I walk every day. So I track to make sure that I'm hitting a certain number of steps. And I also have tracked a photo decluttering on my phone. So every day I'm supposed to declutter that date's photos from all the years past. And actually I do yesterday normally. So I track those habits, but it could also be used if you're trying to break a shopping habit. It could be used to track your intentional shopping and spending to challenge yourself and see how far you want to go with not buying anything that isn't really intentional or that you don't need. So the Habit Share app.
Perfect. Well, I'll be sure to include that in the show notes. Thanks for sharing that. I think people also, I want to say here before the last question, if this all seems incredibly daunting, I would just say start small goals. I'm thinking about someone saying, I'm going to do a no spend November. I'm going to do a no spend January. Sometimes we get these big ideas and then it's like, well, I didn't really set the ground rules of what I wasn't going to be spending on. And oh my gosh, I spent here. So it's just all gone to the wayside. Just set small goals. I'm not going to shop for clothes this month. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we do that, you'll gain that momentum to continue on into many areas of your life.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely a confidence builder. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Set a goal that you can achieve and then knock that one out.
Yeah. And that's why I like habit apps like that, because you can kind of get that momentum going. And it's a compound confidence that you're gaining.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, my last question for you is, what is something you can't stop talking about?
So, you know, it's not going to be a thing because I'm not all about the things, but I would actually say time freedom. So okay. A huge change for me at the beginning of this year was that I went, you know, originally I was working 50 to 70 hours and then I cut back to a regular full-time position, which was 40 hours. And at the beginning of this year, I was able, because of all of our changes and now the financial savings because of them, I was able to cut back to part-time. And so I now find myself with all this extra time where I can really be very intentional with what I want to put into my days. And I will say I've had to really kind of hold off from adding too much stuff, you know, just taking it easy, but really making sure that the stuff that you own is not earning you so that you've got your time back.
Yeah, I knew that you had done that when you and I were first communicating a couple months ago. You were like, I don't know what the future is going to look like. And you went down to a part-time position versus working full time anymore. And I love that you have this freedom and this margin that you guys have worked for as a family to allow for this. And again, I do think it takes budgeting and maybe it's not everyone's story, but I think if you have that opportunity to create more margin in your week, that's the legacy that I want. It's not all the things.
Yeah, absolutely. More time with the kids, family, you know, all the stuff that really fulfills you and makes life worth living. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Mary, thanks so much for coming on the Minimalist Moms podcast. I appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you, Diane. It's been fun.
What did you think of the episode? I hope you enjoyed the conversation. To learn more about today's guest, including links, resources related to everything discussed today, visit the episode page at minimalistmomspodcast.com, where you can find the entire podcast archive, as well as my book, Minimalist Moms, Living and Parenting with Simplicity, or other ways to connect or work with me online. If you'd like to support the podcast, the easiest and most impactful thing you can do is subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and leave a rating or review of your favorite episode. Lastly, sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends on social media is very helpful and will encourage others on their journey to think more and do with less.